Hey, everybody, it's Scott Tempesta with Sailing Anarchy. We're here at another podcast. This is number 873, I'm pretty sure. I think I got my math right. This one's a little impromptu and for fairly good reason. I mean, I've kind of got some news to share. I think it's pretty good news. I think maybe the first podcast we did, it was like, so I'm going to buy a J105. And that garnered some great comments from all, a bunch of you. Most pretty positive. Some like, what the hell are you doing? The things are pigs. You're going to hate it. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. I think I know enough about the boat. I've seen them forever in San Diego. I've seen them struggle mightily in light air. I've also seen them haul ass in some breeze. I've seen them have good one design racing. I've seen them do very well in the Hot Rum series. And for me, the boat makes sense. Like I said earlier, I don't want to go over old ground again, which I know I tend to do anyway, but the boat has a real appeal to me beyond just racing. We like to hang out on our boats. We like to day sail on our boats. And a J105 is good for both of those. I mean, yeah, you can weekend on the boat. And, you know, if you're white trash like me, hell, it's like staying in a Hyatt. You know what I mean? So I like it. And it made sense as I looked around the landscape, you know, thinking about how much I can spend. I try to almost always overspend if I can. And just looking at, you know, what would I be doing? Sailing PHRF again and be subjected to the bullshit from the idiots down here? Nah. I mean, that not in the J105. I mean, that rating's etched in stone. But if I bought something else, you know, if I bought, let's say I bought Swizzle Bubble, which I have tried to do at least once. Can you imagine what they would do to me on that boat? It would just be ridiculous. And why go through that? So the news is that I did indeed buy one. I bought one today. We agreed on the price. And now it's just a matter of, you know, getting the right surveyor scheduled and getting the boat hauled out and getting that done. The boat I bought is hull number 502. It's called Jim, and it's been called Jim for, I think, 15 years, because that's how long the current owners have had it here in San Diego. Before that, when it was brand new, it was owned by Larry Harvey. And that name may not mean much to some of you youngins, but to us old bastards, we on the West Coast for sure, everybody knows who Larry Harvey was and the programs that he put together. Brooke Ann, the big Nelson boat. He did a really, really fast Morsi boat. Was it called Cowboy? I think that's what it was called. I forget. This sort of pink salmon thing that was just virtually untouchable. And he's done other boats besides that. And all of his programs are just, you know, first class. He didn't spare any money. Let's say that. And my understanding is that when he bought this boat, it was called Angry Beaver, which, okay, I've not met too many beavers that are angry. They all look pretty happy to me. And I'm certainly not going to revisit that name. I mean, Jesus, I could do better than that. And he apparently was so methodical putting this boat together that when there was a, those of you that know more about J105s, just kind of bear with me. There was some question about which mast was better, which mast was faster. And it's my understanding that Harvey went through a number of masts when he first got the boat to find the one that was right, the best one, you know, I guess in terms of weight, although there shouldn't be much difference. And maybe bend characteristics. I'm not exactly sure what the criteria was for that, but he did that. By the way, excuse me, I'm having a celebratory cocktail because I just did the deal today. Vodka tonic. So the boat was clearly put together nicely in just in terms of the rig, which is a really good and a super important place to begin. The mast is straight, which is a hallelujah for me, because those of you that have sailed or own them in windy areas, you know, primarily Frisco, you know, the mast bend. They get a permanent kink in them, because as I understand it, they go upwind with a, you know, shit ton of backstay, and they get to the weather mark and hoist, and often leave the backstay on. They just don't get to letting it off fast enough. And so what happens is spinnaker halyard just pulls, you know, hard forward on the mast. The backstay is pulling hard aft, and they tend to get a kink there. And it's not fast. I mean, you don't want to match a luff curve to a permanently bent mast. And yes, they can be fixed. I mean, I know that Scott Isom up in Frisco can do them for around $7,000. That wasn't really money I wanted to spend. I mean, I'll spend money on it. There's no doubt about that, but I just didn't want to buy a 105 with a kink mast. I just don't want to go through it. I didn't want the extra money because I'm going to spend money elsewhere on this boat. And so that's good. The keel's also templated, which is excellent. Be surprised how many of these things have not been templated. Of course, it's been weighed, and it's at hole number 502, it's a light boat. The boat has corrector weights. In the ends, interestingly enough, which I think is, I think that shows that the boat was fairly light, not all the way in the ends, but, you know, certainly not in the center of the boat, as best I could tell. It's also had an epoxy bottom since day one, since, you know, it's a 2001 boat, I think. And for 22 years, it's had an epoxy bottom, which is great. Right. There's nothing faster than an epoxy bottom on a big boat that lives in the water. So how do you keep marine growth off it, you might ask? Well, in the case of this boat, they keep it in a boat bath, which are illegal in San Diego and probably everywhere else. But I'm not going to say the marina. I'm not naming names. I'm not doing nothing. The point is, The boat bottom is flawless. They hauled it out every year. They wet sanded it. They touched it up at Driscoll's. So the bottom's perfect. And all of you people who sail big boats, any boat, one design, it doesn't matter. Having a perfect bottom is so important and so hard to achieve, you know, especially when you have to put bottom paint on. I know, hours and hours of wet sanding. I get it. I do know it can be done, and it is done all the time. But this seems like a step beyond that and better in my estimation. It also has kelp windows, which are kind of funny things. The boats catch kelp. They do. On the rudder, on the keel. Not always, but they do. They just don't quite have enough angle to shed it. So because the class doesn't allow kelp cutters, which I really don't understand why you wouldn't allow kelp cutters. I mean, most areas don't have kelp. And yeah, you can go, okay, well, they don't need it. But look at a Melgus 32. They come with kelp cutters. And, you know, these boats should have as well. I mean, listen, I've been sailing sport boats and sport boats in San Diego for 15 years. And every one of them has had a kelp cutter. I've had them put on if they didn't come with them. In the case of the Flying Tiger, they were so poorly done. I had Brad Fitzgerald and Mike Eldred make them right on Anarchy 1 and Anarchy 4. But you can't have them. So they have kelp windows. And this, like I said, this has keel and rudder. And it's a weird thing. Usually when the boat isn't going well in San Diego, the first thing you think about is, we got kelp. So you usually don't look to see if there's kelp. You usually just get to it. And, you know, if that's a kelp cutter on the keel, a kelp stick on the rudder, a kelp stick on the keel, or a flossing line, you usually just get to it. But apparently in this class, you know, hey, we're a little slow. Somebody pop down and take a look at the windows, make sure we're clear. So, you know, I'm going to be sailing with at least three girls on the boat. And they're all light, of course. They're all perfect, beautiful. I'll just, you know, I'll send the lightest person to go down and take a look. And then we'll deal with the kelp at that point. So those are really good things. Like the bones of the boat are really good in my mind. And I've looked at a bunch of these things. You know, I've done the research, and I know it's hard to get everything in one. Now, what this boat, it has a wheel. It doesn't thrill me. I mean, my first instinct is, you know, when we haul it out, just go ahead and do the conversion. But I'm not right away. don't, I can hear the boos. Like, oh, you're so lame, Tempesta. You got to have a tiller, blah, blah, blah. Well, this boat has sailed in the Lipton Cup a number of times. It's been regarded as a fast boat. There's also at least two more that regularly sail in the Lipton Cup that have wheels. So it's not like, you know, the boats are dogs. It's not like the boats with wheels finish last. They don't. I know it's not great for steering and chop. I know they have big rudders and they don't like to be moved much. And, you know, we'll just see how it goes. I need to get on the boat, sail the boat, get a feel for it. And before I make any real changes, to the thing, the boat comes with, this doesn't thrill me either. It comes with Doyle sails and I don't like Doyle. The sails are, I guess, okay. I hate the company. I hate a couple of the people that work there. One locally, I just cannot stand. I've had a Doyle corporate screw me over in advertising before. I don't think I've ever had a company treat me so shitty as Doyle did. A few years ago, back at the Dusseldorf Boat Show, where they dodged me, we had meetings planned and they just didn't return emails, didn't return texts. I mean, fuck Doyle sails. That's really how I look at it. I would never have a Doyle sail on my boat, but here I am. I have Doyle sails on my boat. Okay. They were used in the 2021 and 2022 beer can series only. Okay. How bad can they be? I'm going to find out. I think that they're probably going to be okay. So we're again in the theme of not changing things radically. Just sail the boat. We'll get it in the water. You know, get Eric Heim from Quantum to come out. We'll take a look at the rig. We'll take a look at the Doyle sails. We'll take some pictures. Eventually, there'll be a full set of Quantum sails on there. That is the, in the J105 class, they are renowned for being the best sails. Apparently, UK Texas makes some pretty nice sails too. I almost bought a boat called Final. But I, like I might've said earlier, I hemmed and goddamn hawed and somebody else came in and swooped it up. But Quantum is my sail maker and whatever boat I ever have beyond this will always have Quantum sails. I had a go with North on the Flying Tiger. They were just fine. But yeah, I don't get along with the local guy here anymore. So no, I'm not buying sails from them. I'm not buying sails from Ullman. I'm not buying sails from Doyle. The only other sailmaker I would consider for sales would be One Sails. Paul Eldred has done a great job over there. And I don't think they've made sales for the 105. I don't think they're active in the class, unlike some of the other classes, the Melgus 32 class, where they're active and successful. You know, I don't think they're J105s over there in any number. So if I was going to do One Sails, it wouldn't be on a 105. But instead, I'll be doing Quantum when I get there. But, you know, let's start out with these Doyles. Let's see how they are, you know, and get some hours in the boat. Honestly, I've never actually sailed one before. Excuse me. Cocktail's tasting good. I've sailed by them about a bazillion times on both the Flying Tigers, the Melgus 32, you know. I remember when I got Anarchy 1, and excuse me if I said this before when I did my first thing on, oh, I'm getting a J105. We did the beer can series and, you know, the J105s were sailing one design there as well. And I think back then they started ahead of the class I was in. And I just remember on the first downwind leg, just going by these things, like they were tied to the stump. I mean, I used to just laugh and go, my God, those things are dogs. And now here I am, owning a dog, but times have changed. Perspectives are different. I've been there and done that with the Flying Tiger and the Melgus 32. To less of the discredit for the 105 and more of the credit to the 105. If there's a faster boat downwind in smooth water in under 10, I don't know what it is. Seriously, I don't know. I mean, it's probably on par with the Melgus 32 in terms of the rating difference, and having owned both, I've been beaten by and I've beaten both of them. I would choose the Flying Tiger probably because it's an easier boat to sail. And I think the 105 while it's a cranky, underpowered thing in a lot of conditions, I believe it's relatively easy to sail. Don't come back and go, oh, you have no idea. These things are really hard to sail. Okay. Yes, as Kimi Raikkonen once said, yes, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. I've got some guys like Eric Heim and, Jeff Thorpe from Quantum Frisco. And so, I feel like I'm going to be in really good shape in that department. The boat is interesting. It's got the latest Harken. It's got new rudder bearings, circa, I think, 2019, 2020. So, they're practically new in those terms. It's very much a minimalist boat, and I like that. Excuse me. For one design sailing, you want these things minimalist. You don't want anything on them. You don't want any extra stuff on there. I think it's got minimal instruments. Whether I'll change that or not, I don't know. Again, just want to spend some time in the boat, figure out what I think the boat might need. Talk to my buddy Artie Means at B&G and see if there's something we can do there. For sure, I'll have the Velocitech guys involved and get their latest stuff on the boat. It's a funny boat because it's a little rough. It was in a small collision at the Lipton Cup, and so they repaired it on the bow, but the gel coat doesn't match. It's like kind of yellow. So there's like a big yellow square, where the repair was done, and it obviously needs to be refinished. The boat has its share of those infamous spider cracks in the gel coat, throughout the deck. Okay. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know that it's ever seen a coat of wax. I don't know that anything's ever been polished and rubbed out and, ceramic coated. I don't know. I don't think anything has, and I'll certainly be all over that. It was interesting. I mean, the cushions on the boat have not been on the boat for 14 years. Great. So fresh cushions. I like that because, while I might not race with them, I certainly am going to put them on the boat for hanging out. There's no doubt about that. A lot of mildew down below the boat. I mean, the fact that the family had it for 15 years is awesome. The fact that they raced, fairly actively, but haven't done much lately. And what they did was Lipton Cup. I think they may have done the Masters Regatta, Beer Can Series, and maybe, the occasional stuff around here, but not a lot. San Diego boats are not raced hard just because the wind doesn't blow. I mean, they can be raced hard, but they're not beat, like boats in Frisco can be or other windy areas. So that's a nice thing. Couple things that really concern me. There's at least two wet spots in the deck core. I think they're actually at opposing stanchions on either side. You can move the stanchion and the deck moves with it. Never a good sign. So I think there's probably wet core there. They acknowledge that. Certainly I'm going to have it surveyed by the best guy I can in town. And there's a couple that are really good. Because moisture and water ingress really disturbs me as a possibility in this particular boat. I mean, any J105 that you're going to get, you've got to make sure you've got to run the test, the moisture tests and whatever it is they do to detect moisture, certainly in acceptable or unacceptable levels. Right. And so, there may be some negotiation on our agreed price because I don't want to sail a wet boat. And I don't want the deck wet. I mean, those areas need to be repaired. Will I do it right away? I'll do it as soon as possible. Those are the sort of things you have to find the right guys to do it, get the yard time, all that stuff. It's springtime. The yards are going to be busy. I have a number of balls to juggle. And that's okay. I mean, one of the things I've always liked about getting a boat is getting it dialed in. The one boat that I didn't have to do that to was the Melgus 32 that I got, hull number 180, owned by the DeVos family. My God, the way they keep their boats, the way they maintain them, the sail inventory. I mean, when I bought this boat and I got a smoking deal on the boat, there, the DeVos family was very nice to deal with. Brian Janney was very helpful in finding this boat, and I got it for a great, great price. It came with at least four complete sets of sails. And I got to tell you, the alleged worst set of sails were as good as any PHRF sail you're going to see in this town. So yeah, it, the boat needed nothing at all. Anarchy 1 was a new boat. The Shaw 650 was a new boat. The GP26 was virtually a new boat. Anarchy 4 was a beater that took a lot of work to get it right. And boy, was it right. A5, the Ericsson 35 Mark II that I currently own. Yeah, no, that boat needed a lot of work. And we put a lot of work and a lot of money into it to make it the way we wanted it to. And, you know, it's a beautiful Ericsson 35. Speaking of which, that boat will be on the market at some point. And, you know, any of you who are thinking about an Ericsson 35 Mark II, and by the way, there's a million reasons to think about owning an Ericsson 35 Mark II. First and foremost, they win in PHRF. I mean, between what Benny Mitchell has done and what we did on A5, granted, Benny was superior to us. He had just significantly better upwind speed. We had better downwind speed than him, interestingly enough, but he was better upwind. While I sailed with good people, he sailed with like literally a boat full of rock stars. And you know what? They're all friends and family, and I think it's bitching, and I had no qualm with it. They just did a better job than we did. But when they didn't win, we did. And we beat them a couple times, not too often, I must say. But, you know, so an Ericsson 35 Mark II can win in PHRF. You know, you're in the class with other furniture boats like this. And, you know, the boats are great for that. They are. I mean, they're pretty god-awful to sail. Like maybe I could spend a whole podcast talking about how awful they are to sail. But you know what? They are good-looking boats. They've got nice cockpits. They're huge down below. So for weekending, for camping, for entertaining, for partying on, an Ericsson 35 Mark II is a good boat. However, good luck finding a nice one. Most of these things are just beat to death. And, you know, I found one from the McCarthy family in Chicago area. Great folks, you know, happy to get the boat. And, you know, we made it nice. And when it does go on the market, this would be the Ericsson 35 that you would want to buy. So, you know, for those of you listening and maybe thinking about something like that, that boat will be on the market. It will not be cheap. Because go ahead and find one and put the money into it that I did and then see what that would cost versus what I'll be selling mine for. I'll be selling it for a fair price, but it will be not a discounted boat, that's for sure. But back to the J105. So I'm excited as hell. I mean, I truly am, because this, you know, when I bought the Flying, people don't realize this, I used to get bitched at all the time by you anarchists. Oh, okay, you don't race one design. You don't race one design. Get an Etchells. Get an Etchells. You're not any good. You blah, 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 blah. Okay, first of all, I hate Etchells. Secondarily, I don't like most of the people. 90% I can't stand. There's some of y'all that I like, but boy, oh boy, I would not join that fleet to save my life. First of all, have you ever seen what goes into sailing a Etchells down here in San Diego? Okay, it's at least an hour and a half motor out to the start line. Let's just call it two. They race multiple races per day, three, sometimes five. And then it's a two-hour tow or sail back in. I'm sorry. I don't have enough sand left in the egg timer of life to spend 4 hours getting towed out to sail a crappy boat. And listen, the competition's good. It's not unbeatable. It's good. And, if I was 30 years younger, I probably would, just to do it. But those days are gone, and I wouldn't do that. But when I first got the Flying Tiger, you know, the idea was one design. That was the idea. And we did sail one design in San Diego. We had a big fleet, 8, 10, 12 boats, you know, when we won, overall in the Yachting Cup. 1 year, you know, we had a big class of Flying Tigers. The fact that it dissipated out of my control So we just ended up doing PHRF. Nothing else looked attractive to me for a one design boat, including the J105 back then, but it does now. And so I'm excited to get involved in the class. I have some friends in the class. I'm sure I'll have some enemies by the time I'm done. But those of you that have sailed against me and with me, you know how I am. I'm not a jackass for the most part. I just like to race hard and sail fair and use the Nelson mode of yacht racing, overbearing in victory, surly in defeat. So that's my little rant slash riff on my J105. I'm really happy to do this. I can't wait to get going. I'll share the name with y'all later because it's a pretty good one. And that's it. So for Sailing Anarchy, I'm Scott Tempesta. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.